and support begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hey everybody, I'm Mel at Karmic9 on Twitter, and this is episode 79 of Nurture and Support, the podcast where we bring you recommendations from everywhere to you for free, and that's important. Over there is Kelly, back again.
Hey everybody, Kelly Tuhl at KellyThuL on Twitter. And we have a special guest this evening joining Mel and I, a young lady named Karen. So Karen, how do you pronounce your last name?
Oh, I think you should know.
It's Tuhl.
I believe in you. Yeah.
So Karen Tuhl is joining us today. So Karen, you want to say hello to everybody?
Hi, I'm Karen. I don't have a Twitter handle because I'm not on social media because I'm a pariah. So I'm going to be here recommending stuff with you today. I'm really excited about that.
So what did Kelly do to you to make you come on the show today?
So I really like Steam and kind of PC gaming and all of that. So I was chatting with him about some game that I was playing, and he was like, yeah, I should come recommend this on the show. I'm like, yeah, really? He's like, yeah, it'd be fun. I'm like, okay, so.
Cool. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah,
I forgot to mention Mel can snap like that, so she may start screaming and yelling if it's not
a good
recommendation.
I'll prepare myself.
Yeah.
So, yeah, before we begin, funny story here, I think. So when Mel and I were talking about Karen joining us last week, towards the end of it, I was starting to do the project planning for her. I'm like, yeah, I'll work with her. We'll make sure her laptop's working. I'll do a Google Hangout test with her, and she can be up in a room or whatever, and we can kind of do it. And Mel made a little face, but didn't really say much, and we kind of went on. So today I was recounting the plan to Karen, saying, okay, so we're going to do this, we'll laptop, we'll test. And she's like, why don't we just do it together? And I was like, well, that'd be stupid because it wouldn't look right. And then, you know, the brain kept working and working, you know, the little engine that could. And eventually I realized we're an audio only piece of media, so it really doesn't matter at all. So,
and it even looks nice. It does not look crappy.
Yeah, it does.
If you could see our video via audio, it would look lovely. Yeah. But
I just kind of thought y'all didn't want to be in the same room together, so it was better that you stayed strong. You're right. That I just thought it might be better if y'all stayed on separate floors of the house.
This way, I can offer her coaching tips.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, yes.
Oh, talk more about this. Tell them about that. I'm sure she'll be good.
We're such a highly structured show.
Yeah.
Oh, well, speaking of structure, that sort of leads into my recommendation this week, which I'm really excited to share with everybody because I think it might be older than anything Kelly has recommended.
I doubt that. I've recommended something on World War I.
Well, but it wasn't made in World War
I. That's true. That's true.
Yes. So I have one of my favorite movies of all time. And this movie surprises a lot of people who probably listen to the show and might actually know me in real life that I love this movie. It was made in 1938. It was directed by Howard Hawks, and it stars Cary Grant and Katharine Hepburn. And it's called Bringing Up Baby. Do either of you know this movie?
I do not, Karen.
I'm aware of the title.
Okay.
So I probably should know this movie, but I don't.
This is one of the, it may be the movie that started the whole screwball comedy genre. It's basically what we would call a romantic comedy, but it was made in 1938. This is kind of when all of the mini Cary Grant, Katharine Hepburn movies, all of those came into play. Howard Hawks actually made quite a few of those. So the story is Cary Grant plays this sort of distracted, In the movie, they call him a zoologist. He is a paleontologist. He has been working in a museum for 4 years to build a brontosaurus. And at the beginning of the movie, they show him up on scaffolding building this brontosaurus. And he is engaged to what appears to be his very staid assistant, Miss Swallow. And it's interesting that he calls her Miss Swallow throughout the movie, and they're supposed to get married the next day, and she informs him that they can't go on their honeymoon because, dun-dun-dun-dun, the expedition calls, or actually sends a telegram, that they have finally found the last piece of his brontosaurus. It is the intercostal clavicle, and you will hear this throughout the movie over and over and over again about the intercostal clavicle. This is a comedy. It's totally fun. But he has to go meet with a lawyer who represents a rich old lady who's going to give $1 million to someone. I guess she's going to give it to whoever sucks up the best. So he is being sent by the museum to go suck up on the golf course to this lawyer to try to get this $1 million. And just imagine, $1 million in 1938. That's a lot of money.
And this is a talkie, right? Just to be sure.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
I feel like it's best that yes.
Yes. Okay. I prefer to watch my old movies in the original black and white. If you look this movie up, you do need to check and see if it's the colorized version. I'm pissy. I don't like the colorized version. I like the original black and white. And I'll just go ahead and tell you now, if you search for this movie on Google, you might be able to find it, you know, out there
for just free maybe.
To watch, maybe, but you can rent it from Amazon, or you can buy the digital version from Amazon and iTunes and all of those places if you want to buy it. But when I did a quick Google search, I came across a couple of working versions of the movie that are online. So I don't know if that's entirely legal. I didn't put them up there, if anybody. So, to get on with our story, David Huxley, that's Cary Grant's character, is playing golf with this lawyer. He's not very good at golf, apparently, and he has to go chase his ball, which has ended up over on the 18th green, and runs into Katharine Hepburn, who plays a very eccentric little heiress who's kind of an airhead, but she's crazy like a fox. She decides, one assumes, that, hey, I like this guy. And so she sets out on all of these harebrained schemes to catch Cary Grant. But where Bringing Up Baby comes into is she comes into possession of a leopard named Baby that her brother Mark has sent her from Brazil. And this leopard loves the song, I Can't Give You Anything But Love, Baby. So throughout this movie, they will have to burst into song, singing this song, to try to entice the leopard, who obviously is going to escape several times during this movie, so that hijinks may ensue. So it's terribly, terribly, terribly good fun. I am not typically the sort of person that people go, oh, she likes romantic comedies. And I don't in particular, but I do love this one because it's actually, the dialogue is very clever. It's very funny. There's a lot of little tongue-in-cheek, little things going on. If you pay attention, there's something to laugh about pretty much with every line of this movie. And I just love it. And Katharine Hepburn and Cary Grant were always adorable. If you're a fan of old movies, you know this from Philadelphia Story. And of course, Bringing Up Baby was maybe not one of their most popular ones, but it's my favorite. So in the end, it has a happy ending, but there's lots and lots of craziness also involving an escaped killer leopard from the circus that just happens to be in town when they go to the countryside to stash Baby in the barn. So you've got everything going on here. You've got a psychiatrist named Fritz who shows up. You've got a drunk Irish gardener named Gogarty and his wife, Hannah, poor woman, who work at the farm. You've got the rich lady giving away the $1 million who happens to be Susan's aunt, who Susan was also trying to impress the aunt to get the $1 million. So you've got a lot of stuff going on, a lot of crazy characters bumbling in and out. They even throw in a nod to the popular crime gang movies that were going on at the time. So there's a fun little jailhouse scene going on because, of course, at some point they're going to get arrested in this small town by a bumbling sheriff. So lots of fun stuff to go. A lot of little hijinks. A cute leopard. And there is a very annoying dog named George, who the leopard may or may not eat, depending on which leopard you happen to come across. So Bringing Up Baby in 1938. I think I'm winning.
I think you actually may have. I take the challenge.
Slowly go more and more back in time.
That's right.
Yes.
I'm going to recommend the cave paintings in France.
There you go.
I like those.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I kept that quiet. Cool. So I figured at the end the leopard ate somebody. Could to make it a Mel movie, I thought there'd be yes. a
nice hook at the
take
end.
Take somebody out.
I'm not going to tell you that that leopard doesn't get somebody, but, you know, case of mistaken leopard identity going on. It's great. It's a lot of fun. I really love this movie. It's been one of my favorites since I was a kid, and I always enjoy every time I pop out my DVD and put it in there and watch it. But some of you might be able to find it online.
Maybe.
Maybe. So I think we're going to turn it over to Karen.
All right. Well, I'm going to be your PC gamer / international corner with all my choices of games for today. So I have two PC games that I recommend that I got both of them on Steam. I think you can get them on other platforms, but that's what I've played them through. So the first one is Kisima in Ingachuna, which means never alone in Inupiat, which is a dialect of Inuit. And it's this really cool, like just visually stunning game that follows the journey of this little girl named Nuna and her Arctic fox. And you're going kind of on this spirit journey to figure out why there's this giant storm in her Arctic territory where she's living. And why this game is just really cool to me, because I'm anthropology major, museum nut, I like all that sort of things, is as you play through the game, they'll have kind of little pings for cultural insights where you can watch a video that basically takes you through the research they did for this game, because they work directly with the Alaskan Native groups so they could get as culturally accurate as possible with the storytelling that they were doing. So, like, for example, Nuna carries around this weapon that's used for hunting called the bola. So when you get that weapon, it will ping a video and you can learn more about what the bola is, how did Alaskan Native groups actually use it when they were hunting and gathering and all of that. So it's a really interesting, really cool game. And for playthrough, it's very nice. So how you play through is you can either play as Nuna or the Arctic fox. It's actually, you can play it co-op, so you can have two people playing it at once. But you can play through as your own, switch between the two characters. Nuna and the fox play in different ways. So Nuna, kind of straightforward, you just hop around, you might have your weapon, use that. Fox is actually her spirit guide, so you use that to interact with kind of different elements of nature that the fox awakens, kind of the spirits that are within that, that then Nuna can interact with. So it's a very interesting game. I like it a lot. Visually stunning, if you like kind of games that are in the vein of Journey, if you're aware of that, or like kind of a lot of games from that game company, which is like visually stunning, very, it's much more about the aesthetic almost than like kind of an action gameplay. So
is there any dialogue?
There is. They have narration that's kind of interlaced over your gameplay. It's by, I can't remember the name of the guy, but he's an Alaskan native. It's in his native tongue, and it's basically him narrating your journey throughout the story.
Yeah, I've heard good things about it, and that's one of those games we were talking about before we started recording that I bought on sale, but I haven't played yet, but I've heard great things about it.
Yeah, so it's absolutely gorgeous.
I didn't know about those videos that they pop up. That's really cool. I like it.
So before Karen goes into her next one, her rich, she's actually been on Nurture and Support 3 or 4 times. Because
my recommendations have ended up being your recommendations.
I have co-opted. So you may remember a little ditty called Monument Valley. So that was Karen berating me to get that and do that. And then I think I also mentioned for Attack on Titan, just the fact that she was so stunned that I actually had the book, that I was, you know, that's like, no, only like people who get it have this book. So why do you have it? And then when she found
I'm
out,
like, you don't watch anime. Who are you?
But Loot Crate sent it. So I'm recommending that then. Yeah. And I think there was another one. Oh yeah. Go Bordello.
Mm-hmm.
She kind of pushed me into them and liked them quite a bit too.
Yep.
So I was about to steal this first one she gave, but the words were really hard. and I thought it would also be maybe more fair to let her speak for herself.
But I wrote down phonetic pronunciations. So I'm like, I don't want to butcher this. It'll be fine.
That's a lot of work. It's easier to have you on. So
I know. Yeah, there you go. That helps out a lot.
I always tell everybody I'm just going to butcher it anyway because I'm going to. Even when I try, even when I think I know how to say it before we start, somehow just because the audio is recording, I can't say it.
Very true. That's cool. All right. So my second game, this one was actually released a while ago and I picked it because it was like the first game that my friend recommended to me and I loved it. It's so much fun. And it's called Stacking. And you play as a rushing stacking doll, like kind of those nesting dolls. And you are kind of the smallest doll out of that set. And it's kind of like dark humor, interesting. It's set in like kind of Industrial Revolution sort of era. You're the youngest of a family of people who are in the factory system. And your family essentially gets sold off to different factories by the Baron, who is running the entire thing. So your goal as little Charlie Blackmore is to go find your family by using your super awesome stacking doll powers. So since you are the smallest stacking doll, you can jump into other dolls that you see around you, progressing in size. And kind of each doll that you encounter is kind of like a unique personality who has a different ability. So you kind of utilize the different dolls around you and their skills to accomplish different sort of puzzle tasks. When you try to go find your family. And how it works out is like you'll have certain puzzles that you have to accomplish, but you can accomplish them in kind of any way you want to. So for each puzzle, there's three different solutions. You only have to do one, but it's really fun just to play around and try to find all the different solutions that you can go with. So like some of the places you end up in, it's like a Zeppelin, you end up at this crazy kind of carnival. Like, it's kind of like shifting timelines, like 1800s zoo sort
this
of thing.
It sounds steampunk to me.
It's kind of steampunky. It's really fun.
Cool.
And it has like a nice sense of humor to it. And it's a very fun game.
Huh. I've never heard of that. I'm going to have to get off here and go look that one up and add it to
That's also on Steam. Plug that. And they have that like in, you can get it in bundles with other games by that same company, which is great. I think it, what is it cool. called? Double Fine Productions. They make a lot of really fun kind of indie PC games that are a blast to play. So,
that's cool.
Yeah.
I never heard of that one. I'm going to have to look that up because steampunk, carnivals, industrial factories. I'm sold.
Stacking dolls.
Yes.
I never would have thought stacking dolls were that interesting, but hey, totally cool. Awesome.
Can you shoot stuff?
Well, depending on who you're stacking into.
Is there a shooter doll?
Like, what I remember particularly is like there's one doll that you jump into and it's a little boy and his power is that he's extra gassy. So you can just knock out people by being gassy. Or you can like jump into a stacking doll that's a bird so you can fly up to a higher portion of an area. One's like a train conductor so he can just like yell at people and they'll get all the way and be like, oh, sorry, train conductor dude. So it just really depends. It's really just based on like the personality of the dolls around you.
Wow, that sounds really cool. I'm going to definitely get that.
I could have stolen that one and recommended
it
too. So that's two shows I've lost.
Exactly.
Darn it. Oh, okay. Okay, well, these have all been very thoughtful, clever, entertaining. Mine doesn't quite hit the bar on that, but I do think you will be entertained. And I'm going to recommend a website for this week. And if this is one that Karen's not already aware of, I think she will spend a lot of time on it in the future. And it is called pointlesssites.com. PointlessSites.com. And it is as advertised. It is a encyclopedia of pointless sites. And when you have so many pointless sites, you should categorize them, which they have. So you can look at animations, interactive play things, slightly interesting, completely pointless, odd, sound and music, games and puzzles, pictures, tools, hypnotic, pointless numbers, and showcase, which just kind of covers a lot of them. And because all I do is research, you know, as soon as this episode ends, I begin the research for the next episode, preparing for my recommendation. So obviously I was required to do a good show to spend a lot of time on this site. And I did. And I came across wondrous things, a talking William Shatner head that you can type things to and he'll respond to you. Corgi Orgy, which, you know, you might originally think, oh, this could be bad, but this is just a whole bunch of Corgi animated GIFs. Okay. That just kind of keep running across
that's
lots
of stuff.
That's
a bad name, though. I'm kidding.
Yeah. And I was like, that's one record. I'm not going to click on that.
Yeah, that's the domain.
Like, someone out there is probably very disappointed when they clicked on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is kind of sad.
Yeah, I bet you their bounce rate's really high.
Yeah.
Like, no, that wasn't what I thought of. There's the Is My Computer On site, which you go to ismycomputeron.com, and it's a single page that says yes. So... Sad Animal Facts is actually a series of cartoons presenting what we talk about, which is sad animal facts. Perhaps I can share a few with you. Birds cannot eat in outer space. They use gravity to swallow.
Okay.
Frogs cannot close their ears. And each of these is accompanied with a sad
animal. Do they even have ears?
They have holes.
They have holes, but they can't close.
If a female ferret goes into heat and doesn't mate, she will die. And the little ferret cartoon has the thought bubble, why isn't Tinder loading? Which I think is nice. Jellyfish have no hearts. Foxes live and work and eat and sleep alone. So just all kinds of fun like that. And so there's videos. There's Lithuania has beautiful women, which... You originally think, I have a hunch what this is going to be about, but no, it is this very strange song about Lithuania and it not having mountains. And it does mention their women are pretty, but it's just these two weird guys. And it's very, very, very strange. But so it's videos, it's games, it's silly sights, everything you can imagine from there. A sing-along song about bacon pancakes that gives you the recipe. For that. Sheep films into entire page dedicated to animated sheep gifts, which is kind of handy as well. And gum, which so what we have been doing for folks maybe new to Nurture and Support is in addition, and Matt will tell you at the end, but you know, we're out on iTunes, you can get us from the blog. We've also been working to put all of our past episodes up onto YouTube as well. And the nice thing about that is it's still just the audio, which, okay, I figured that out. It's just the audio. But it's always handy to put for the thumbnail of the video something from the show, some of the things were, so it'll either be the movie poster from the movie or the album cover, whatever it might be. I believe for this episode, I'm going to go out to the wonderful site called Gum, which lets you pick from one of three different types of gum and then spell out anything you want in chewed gum letters, you know, to kind of chew the gum and then place it on the wrapper for each of the letters. And I'll do a nice Nurture and Support off the gum site. I think I'll use bubble gum. It's a nice pink.
Do they have fruit stripe?
They did not have fruit stripe. It looked like a Wrigley. It looked like a Wrigley. They didn't have whatever the black one is called.
Fruit stripe was my favorite.
It's a black chewing gum?
Yeah.
It's not tobacco?
It's not. No. No, yeah, Red Man. No, it's not. They discontinued something Jack. I cannot remember now. But there used to be. Your grandfather is a huge fan of whatever that
was. Oh, okay.
But we'll do the bubble gum, I think, because it's a classic look. So pointlesssites.com, hours of fun. And the nice part is you can use it and you can vote on them and vote certain things up. They continue to rank them. They give you not only the most popular, but the least popular. And it's just, it's hours and hours of pointless fun. So
I have one question.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't indexed our webpage, have they?
I'll have to look and see.
Check on that.
It did not come. It did not come up.
Okay.
And doesn't look like there's a ton of stuff. I mean, there's a decent number of Flash games obviously out there, and those would obviously fit into this often.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm fairly certain, because an iPad's not always the most Flash friendly device to be cruising around on, mm-hmm. with the exception of once during my research tonight. I only ran into one site that I got kind of stonewalled out due to Flash, but everything else works. So it seems to be pretty iPad friendly, iOS friendly. So you should be able, if you don't have Flash, still to be able to do quite a few things. There's a random Shakespearean insult generator, which is another
like
kind of another handy one. How well can you draw a circle?
Not well.
Okay.
And then PokéDraw, where you need to draw Pokemon with MS Paint in 45 seconds.
That would actually entertain me a lot.
Yeah. we'll move into social media recommendations. And I think Mel's remaining true to her
no hypocrisy.
I must participate to recommend position.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm still continuing to participate. So logically enough, I'm going to recommend at Pointless Sites on Twitter. It's a good follow, and you're going to get a daily link from them on some new addition to their site. So it'll be a nice reminder to go to the pointlesssites.com site. So
we all need a little more pointless in our lives.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of it. And it's Pointless Sites, at Pointless Sites. So
cool.
Karen?
Yeah, so I'm much more of I like hanging out on YouTube and finding cool vloggers to follow around, see what they're up to. So I really like this couple there's this Canadian couple that live in South Korea. And they have a YouTube channel called Eat Your Kimchi, where they just kind of talk about their daily life there, different weird things, like different weird products that they find. They'll do like kind of like spotlights on that. They'll talk about just kind of different people they've met. So they've actually managed to be able to hang out with like people in entertainment, and they'll like kind of explain cultural things, but in like a very fun, like not too serious way. Like they get the point across, like they'll like kind of, they have a good mix of covering kind of hard issues with living in South Korea, but then also kind of showing the fun of living in a different country. Mm-hmm. And they're a great time. So cool. That's my recommendation.
So I think that wraps this up. Does anybody have anything else to add?
No? I do not.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we're going to turn it over to Matt, who's going to tell you all the places that you can reach us online, including Kelly's YouTube channel, where he has been doing all of the work to put our episodes up on YouTube. And he'll tell you our email, our Twitters, all of that good stuff. And we'll be back next week with more.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
You can contact us on our website, nurtureandsupport.net, or email us at nurtandsup@gmail.com. That's nurtandsupp@gmail.com, or tweet us at nurtandsup on Twitter. You can also catch Nurture and Support on YouTube. Just search Nurture and Support or Kelly Tool.
Nurturing and supporting.